talk or mention the movement. It was just as if it didn't exist. After that, he tried to give out some money and make some measures to answer the claims of the protesters. And what we see after that, it didn't work to stop the movement, so came in the violence of the police forces. And now what we have is Emmanuel Macron touring France with the big debate, as he called it, supposed to have French people talking to each other and finding solutions to get out of this crisis. But the big debate has been so far a one-man show, a stand-up for Emmanuel Macron talking to mayors, talking to people, talking to kids, talking to retired people, and just exposing his policy, because we're coming into a phase where European elections are coming, and this is a stage campaign for his party, En Marche. So the answer has been clearly a war towards the Yellow Vest rather than a dialogue. And what we have now is two camps that are certainly not talking to each other and don't want to stop this fight going on. Mm.
And finally, where do you see the Yellow Vest protests going? 300,000 months ago, now around 30,000. What's going to happen next?
Well, that's the big question mark. Is it because May is coming, spring is coming, so people could come back to the roundabouts and having more meetups and start again the movement with more power. Right now, clearly, there are less and less people in the streets because of the violence, because of the weather, because of the time. It's been 6 months. But it could be that because of the conclusion of the big debate, there could be a national disappointment about what the measure will be announced by Emmanuel Macron, and then we'll start again a bigger protest. Whatever happens is that people might stop or take out their yellow vest. The anger in the French society is still there, and it will be going on for a few years without political solution.
Alexis Poulain, we want to thank you very much for being with us. Journalist based in Paris, co-founder of the news website Le Monde Moderne. That does it for our show. If you'd like to sign up for our Daily Digest, our news headlines, you can go to democracynow.org. You can text the word Democracy Now to 66866. I'm Amy Goodman with Noreen Sheikh.
It's 8:01. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, it's Voices from the Edge with our host, Commissioner Joanne Hardesty. She'll take a look at understanding the City of Portland budget process, and she will take your calls. At 9 o'clock, it's Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell. The weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, Per Fogarang talks about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the role of the deep state. At 10, it's the Heather McCoy Show. Heather interviews Stephen Kijak, who is the director of Scott Walker, the 30th Century Man. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman talks to Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award finalist Christine Schutt about her latest story collection, Pure Hollywood. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, co-hosts Emma Jackson Ford, O.B. Hill, and Patricia Welch discuss what's on their bookshelves this month. Listeners are invited to call in and share their current reads. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Oregon Symphony's Concert for the Community, Saturday, April 13th, celebrating Music of the Americas with music of North, Central, and South America, featuring performance by Hillsborough's Mariachi Una Voz. More information at orsymphony.org.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, Difference Between Fascist and Antifa Movements in the Trump Era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot in Portland. Challenging the Both Sides Narrative is a talk by Dr. Stanislav Vysotsky. This talk will provide an overview of contemporary fascist and anti-fascist movements with a focus on the key differences between them. Again, that's Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, difference between fascist and Antifa movements in the Trump era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that Peter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Good morning, good morning. I am Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. You know, I tell you, it's been a wild week at City Hall, and here's one of the things I learned. I learned that a lot of people don't understand the City of Portland's budget and how it is put together. So I thought, as a public service today, we would talk about the city budget, because as you know, budget forms are happening now. We had the first one on Tuesday, and that took place at Urkel on 103rd in my neck of the woods. And as people talked about, don't cut parks or save whatever program, I realized that people didn't understand that we're at the beginning of the city's budget process and not at the end. The mayor's proposed budget comes out on May 1st. And the city council votes on May 15th. And so now's the opportunity to talk about our vision for the city of Portland rather than be divided about what we want to save. So today, I mean, what you're seeing now, as far as the budget is concerned, are proposed budgets under the mayor's direction. So what did the mayor direct the city to do? They directed all city bureaus to take a 1% cut and then to present their proposal for next year. And that's what they did. Now it's your turn. As the taxpayers, as the voters, as the people who use these services, you need to know what the city funds. You need to know how it funds it. And then you need to know how to weigh in a way that helps us build the best budget we can build. And as you know, the number to call is 503-231-8187 if you want to join the conversation. But right now, let's talk about what is the city's budget, Budget 101. What services first does the city of Portland provide? And it's a very short list. It's transportation, it's public safety, it's parks, rec, culture, it's public utilities, community development, and legislative administration and support. So that just supports all the other stuff that I just mentioned, right? And why does the city provide these services, right? The city is responsible for a set of services, and the county is responsible for a separate set. And so Multnomah County passed Resolution A back in 1983, which really ratified what each individual government would do. Now, of course, that was, 36 years ago? And since that time, there's been some overlap. So Resolution A said the city of Portland would primarily just provide the urban services like the ones that I just mentioned, and the county would be primarily responsible for the assessment and taxation, elections, corrections, libraries, health and social services. Now, since that time, of course, we've created a library funding district, and so that has changed, but pretty much everything else is the same. Now, another big question is, where does the money come from? So it's not like we have a pot of $5 billion that we just sit and fight over and decide who's going to get what piece. So where do the monies come from? They come from bonds and notes, which basically are sold to build stuff, right? Like affordable housing, infrastructure, things like that. There's also a beginning fund balance, which means that's the money that we had left over from last year. That's the money that rolls over until the following year. And it represents kind of one-time money because that's just money that was left over. Then there's service charges and fees, which are collected, like water, sewage, parks, parking, those kind of things. And, of course, taxes. And taxes are property, lodging, license, gas taxes, among others. And then, of course, the city, like most governments, writes for grants, federal grants, and those grants are written for a whole host of reasons. And then, of course, there's license and permits, which are revenues that are collected by the city to regulate activities like construction, businesses, and public spaces. And then there's miscellaneous revenue, like investment interest, capital assets, assessments, miscellaneous sales, private grants, donations, loan repayments, etc. Now, that is basically where city money comes from. How is that money allocated? The general fund is the fund that for the city that can be used for anything. However, there are some bureaus that are funded directly from the general fund. And those bureaus are police, fire and rescue, and parks and recreation. Some of the other cities' services and city funds come from fees for services. So like water and sewer fees pay for related systems and infrastructure around maintenance and other improvements. And building permit fees support development services. So those programs pay for themselves. And park fees support recreation services. So like music in the park, a movie in the park, those kind of things. And so that's that's how the money comes in. That's how the money is supposed to go out. So how are city services distributed? We spend 21% of the city's budget on public safety. But public safety includes fire and rescue, Portland Police. It also includes Bureau of Emergency Management. It also includes 911 call center. So it is the public services, public safety system at the city of Portland. And that's like 21% of the budget. Public utilities is another 21% of the budget. And transportation and parking, 14%. Community development, 12%. Parks, rec, and cultural, 8%. Legislative, administrative, and support comes to another 24%. So the city's entire budget is $5.1 billion, with a B. The total general fund is $681.6 million. So that is the entire city's budget. So the general fund, the money that's most flexible, is 13.24% of the city's budget. And this is really important because most money that the city gets is not money that is flexible and that can be moved into different arenas. I thought it was important that we had this conversation so that when you come to the budget forums that are coming up, and I will give you the dates and the locations during this program, and I will also post those on my Facebook page. When you come to those budget forums, I want you to come prepared. I want you to come knowledgeable and ready to talk about some real choices that we will have to make as it relates to this year's budget. A couple of other things is that the city made an agreement a couple of years ago, I should say passed an ordinance that said that it would put half of any one-time money into a fund so that it could address infrastructure improvements, which I think is a really good idea because the city of Portland has a lot of big maintenance needs that really have not been addressed for decades. And so all that information will be coming up. Also, the information I just shared with you is information that's easily accessible from the City of Portland's budget office. It is on their website as well, but I will make it very easy by putting it onto the Voices from the Edge website. So give me a call. Tell me what you would like to know about the city's budget. Tell me where you think we should be investing for the future of the city of Portland. There are a lot of big conversations happening around the state. I heard yesterday that Governor Brown came out and said that she supported Oregon going back to the table for Vancouver-Oregon conversation and investment in some type of I-5 bridge expansion. What do you think about that? I know where I stand on that. I think that's not where we want to invest transportation dollars. And yeah, that's what I think. But anyway, the city budget process is in full swing. And I do believe it's important that we hear directly from people. I have to say, I loved participating in this week's budget forum because it is rare to be able to hear from the public in the evening in a community setting, and in a way that people just get to say what's on their mind. I really, really, really wish we had more of these kind of community engagement opportunities. And that's why my office is actually going to do a community budget 101 also in conjunction with this year's budget. Because as I said, it's important to me and it's important that we help the public understand the budget, the decisions, and the choices that we are making. Because the choices we make today will have an impact on the city of Portland for a very long time to come. Again, give me a call at 503-231-8187. We are less than, we don't have a lot of time for the deep deliberation that we need to have about this year's budget. So I'm really interested in what's on your mind and how we can collectively advocate for a budget that makes sense. I am so grateful to Street Roots, who has taken on the charge of advocating for the Portland Street Team, which is one of my favorite efforts that I've been involved with since I've been at the city of Portland. And what the street team would do would be to provide the appropriate first responders when a community member called 911 seeking help. As you may know today, if you call 911, you may get the police, fire, and the ambulance all at the same call because we're just not sure who's the appropriate first responder to send. Today, many times, who we send, even if we send all three, they are not the appropriate people to address the situation that's being confronted, either on the street or in someone's home. And so if someone is suffering from a mental health issue, I believe the most appropriate first responder would be someone who is trained in mental health triage. If someone is suffering from a medical issue, many times having a nurse triage that call will make it much more effective. And we already know that people call 911 and demand police for many, many things that police are not the appropriate first responders. So we're looking at building the Portland street team so that we will have the opportunity to create community responses to community crises. And I am very much looking forward to that. And I am just so grateful to Street Roots that they did that in-depth reporting and have started to advocate both Street Roots, the paper, and their vendors for a new approach to people who are suffering from mental health issues. Do we have a caller on the line? Good morning, Mark. Welcome to KBOO.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm interested in what you're talking about participation in these budgeting meetings.
Right.
And I'm going to want to get that information. My issue is concerning the homeless issues.
Right.
Okay. I am having some ideas that it might be possible to generate income in some way to help this situation.
Well, good. Okay. You should certainly show up at a budget hearing.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to somebody about ideas. I'm not sure that I want to put that out there right now, but it seems to me that something could be done, you know, to give some of these people, you know, something meaningful to do that would generate some income to help their situation. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense to me. I've been advocating that ever since I've been at City Hall. I think if we treat people with dignity and give them an opportunity to make some income, then we could help them get into housing they can afford to live in. But the other part of it is we have to have housing that people can afford to live in, because today that is not the case in the city of Portland.
Yeah, I can imagine. By the way, I live in Salem.
Ah.
We have an incredible problem around here. I don't know if you're aware of it, but, you know, I have a feeling that it might be easier for me to talk to people in Portland about this. The Salem people really aren't doing anything, and the problem's getting really big. But I do have some ideas about projects that could generate some income, especially if they had the support from the city. And I'm concerned about the situation in Portland. I spent quite a bit of time up there.
So, you and me both. I would say, you know, you could write the city council. You could call and talk to one of the offices. I mean, you don't have to actually go to the budget form. You could email people.
Okay. And, you know, that is something I need to find out the information about. You know, you discussed that you're going to be posting where these budget council meetings are going to be held.
Right.
But what's the best place to go to begin to communicate? Which websites, which, you know, who?
So if you are wanting to contact elected leaders in Portland, I would give you a website, but if you want to do that in Salem, I think you just have to go to your city website and look up your own city commission.
Oh, I've already been talking to them about it. I've been to city council. I mean, I don't see much hope here, but I think in Portland they might be a little bit more open-minded to some ideas. And these would apply to anywhere.
I tell you what, ideas. Why don't I give you the opportunity to give my engineer your email, and we will send you some websites that you can connect to with Portland.
Well, you know, make sure and let everybody else know what those are, too.
Of course. We won't just share it with you. Have a good day. Thank you.
I don't have to be on the air all day here. Why don't you just send me back to the engineer. I'll call back, and I'll see if I can get that info. Maybe at the end of the show. How's that?
Actually, I won't be here at the end of the show, but you talk to my engineer. You have a great day. Thank you. I want to make sure that people know the dates for the upcoming budget meetings. Let's see. The next one is going to be this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. And this one is going to be invited testimony on chronic homelessness to permanent supportive housing, and then open public testimony. It's going to be at Portland Community College Cascade Campus. There will be language access, ADA access, and it is on transit lines, both MAX and bus lines. Then there will be a community work session on Tuesday, April 9th at 6:30 p.m. That will take place at David Douglas High School. There will be a public hearing on the City of Portland and Prosper Portland's proposed budget on Thursday, May 9th at 6:30. The location has not yet been announced. And again, I will post all this information, but wanted to make sure that the public is very aware that we have these opportunities to make sure our voice, your voice, is included in the budget process. It is important that the city hears directly from people who will be impacted by their vote for this budget. We had a huge forum yesterday in regard to some new regulations around tenant protections and around tenant screening and around tenant security deposits. And we will continue to that conversation today at Portland City Hall. I want to also make sure that you know that the forum that I discussed that my office would be leading will be taking place on April 13th. And that meeting, that will help do the same thing that I did today, which is to talk about really what is the city's budget and how does that budget process work. And that is a meeting that will take place from 10 a.m. to noon, and it will be at Ventura Park Elementary. Again, I will post all this, so don't feel like if you missed it, you are doomed. But again, April 13th, which is a Saturday, Ventura Park Elementary School, and that's located at 145 Northeast 117th Avenue. This is really about the public's voice. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning. Welcome to K-Book.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Oh, hi. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of questions. The first question was our previous mayor, Haley, correct?
Haley. Hales, yes.
Yeah, Hales. Well, what he did when he came to office, he did the same thing. He submitted his budget, and he asked all departments to cut their budget 5%. And when it was all said and done, they found out they had over $20 million left over. So they cut too much money. But all these bureaus suffered, but there was an excess of money. I know the new mayor wants only 1%, which is probably a lot better, but does that mean we have to have maybe a tax increase of 1% also to cover that?
Well, that's a really good question, and I don't know if you listened early on, but the general fund is a really small portion as compared to the overall budget, because, again, in most cases, the money is dedicated to a specific purpose, with the exception of the general fund. I think that I don't know, and I've been there 90 days, right? So
yeah.
I'm still trying to get my hands around a $5.1 billion budget and how all those pieces move. So I'm not ready today to say, you know, we need more money. I'm not sure yet.
Okay. The next question has to do with our revenue streaming.
Right.
We have $5.1 billion budget.
Right.
Majority of this money is coming from the Water Bureau. We sell water to different cities. We sell water to manufacturers, and the city of Portland makes a lot of money. Yet there's no. In the past, the city used that as a slush fund.
Yes, the city was caught, sued, and forced to pay a settlement because they used Water Bureau funds for things that were not related to the Water Bureau. Today, The public utilities, which includes the water bureau, is 21% of the budget that comes into the city of Portland. And I believe that because the city of Portland was sued and because the city of Portland lost the suit and was forced to pay a settlement, that they are spending that money as they are supposed to today.
Okay. And there's and also the budgeting of the Water Bureau. Example, a few years ago, they mentioned on the news that, you know, since water flows downhill, they've been putting generators in the pipes to generate electricity. But they never said who gets the electricity. Do we sell it to the power company? Does the city use it for itself? What type of contract that was used? And hopefully now with the city auditor, we can maybe uncover this stuff?
I certainly hope so. I think the city auditor's office does an excellent job with their audits. They recently did an audit on the cleanups of homeless camps and one on our green space programs. And yes, I think, you know, they can only do X number of audits a year, but every time they do an audit, it provides really good, clear information and direction. And the new thing that they're doing, which they never did before, is they're now doing like a two-sided update on audits they've done in the past, which, you know, I kept saying, we have an auditor that does audits, but then somebody says, thank you very much, and you never hear about it again, right? So I appreciate the fact that they're doing the follow-up. So,
okay, and hopefully do a follow-up, because I remember about 5 years ago.
Sir, I'm going to have to go. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your call, but we got other callers waiting, okay?
Okay. Then.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. Good morning, Andrew. Welcome to KBOO.
Thanks for taking my call, Joanne.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
No worry. What's the... Are you still there? Did we lose you, Andrew? Going once, twice? Oh, darn it. Andrew, call back. Oh, that was horrible. Hopefully, Andrew will call back in just a couple of minutes. There's a lot to understand about the city budget. You know, you can't walk in and in 90 days say you are an expert on all the services and opportunities that the city of Portland provides. And I would never, ever do that, which is why I think it's important that we all learn about how the city budget is put together and we all learn about what the city priorities are and how we as a community can advocate for our vision. And I've had a great time talking to people about this budget. I enjoy the budget forum that we participated in, and I'm looking forward to the one that my office is going to lead on the 13th, because, again, this is about making sure that we are serving the people who live in the city of Portland and that we give them an opportunity to weigh in on these critical issues. As I find in some of the bureaus that I'm working with, we have some challenges at the city of Portland. I mean, we have buildings that have been in dire need of repair, of being torn down and rebuilt for a long time. But I just don't think we've had the political courage to say, so this is what it's going to take to get our infrastructure in place, and now we got to fix it. And so I hope that that's the conversation that we have as we continue to move through this budget process. And I have to say, I appreciate more the fact that it takes stick-to-itness to really try to understand where our priorities are. Because as you know, people can talk all they want, and budgets are moral documents. Budgets determine where your soul is as a community. And if you say one thing and you invest your resources somewhere else, then that says a lot about your community. We've got a lot of work to do to make the city of Portland work for everybody. But this budget year is really helping me see that there's a lot of people that want us to have a big picture vision rather than continuing to change our vision about where we're going and where we're headed and who benefits from all this wealth in our community. $5.1 billion is a lot of money. And I think the question we should be asking every day is that money serving the city of Portland and moving us in a direction that we want to go? And if it's not, what do we need to do to shift course so that we can have the city that we want to have. Let me tell you what's coming up today. At 9 Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell, a weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, Fight the Empire host Per Fargay talks about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the role of the deep state. At 10 on Heather McCoy's show, Heather interviews Stephen Kajak, the director of Scott Walker, 30th Century Man. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Namon talks to Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award finalist Kristen Schultz about her first story collection, Pure Hollywood. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk co-hosts Emma Jackson Ford, O.B. Hill, and Patricia Welch discuss what's on their bookshelves this month. Listeners are invited to call in and share their current reads. All these programs are made possible by members' support, and if you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on donate. It is that easy. We have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day coming up for you here at KBOO. And so again, I want to be clear about kind of how the budget process works. And so the timeline, again, April 2nd, 6th, and 9th, the city of Portland will have public budget outreach activities. And on April 13th, my office will. On May 1st, the mayor's budget comes out. And on May 14th, the approved budget work session will take place. And the council action to adopt the budget takes place on June 12th. And so there are opportunities throughout that timeline for you to weigh in and make sure that you are helping us make good decisions that will put us on the right path. I think the other thing is different this year is that ad packages, which are packages that bureaus, when they've been asked to cut, they'll put an ad package back to add what it is they've been asked to cut, which is a which is basically how the city budget process works. The change this year required the city council member in charge to put that directive in, just to make sure that there was a more integrated approach. When my bureaus, who are all first responder bureaus, presented to the city council, they presented as a team because it was important for me to have the city council see that when you have fire and rescue, Portland Bureau of Emergency Management, and the Portland Bureau of Emergency Communication, it is important that they operate as a team because they have to. And I wanted the city council to see them as a team of first responders. And we did invite the police to be part of that presentation, but they chose to do their own, which was fine, which was also very illuminating for me. I was kind of surprised to find out how many of Portland's police recruits, even for unarmed, this new unarmed position that was voted in before I was a member of the city council, that they, out of 60 recruits, only 3 passed the background check. And out of the 3 that passed the background check, only 1 was actually moved forward as these non-sworn officers. And that's just on the non-sworn side. And on the sworn side, there are 120 vacancies for Portland police officers. As I reviewed the budget, it was clear to me that Portland Police Bureau is a very top-heavy organization with almost one supervisor for every 2 employees. And so trying to get the police to look at their deployment in a way that actually helped them put more bodies on the street rather than in specialty units like the gang enforcement unit, which I still believe should be disbanded, like the school resource officer program, which I still believe should not have police and armed police officers in our school buildings. That's my opinion, and I haven't wavered from those 2 opinions. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Inga. Welcome to KBOO.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you so much for hosting this show and for all the work you're doing. I'm just so excited.
Thank you.
To have you working on the behalf of everyone. I had just a quick question. I understand your layout of the budget that about 13% are general funds that would be sort of up for debate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could just lay out for us maybe the big categories of what the proposals are for how that money would get allocated. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the big areas that are being considered at present?
Thank you for that question. That's a great question.
And I'll go off the air.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the question. That's really a great question. And the answer to that is every bureau has something that they would like as part of the ongoing work that they do. One of the big issues that we are facing, I will come, Ingrid, at this from another way. One of the big issues that we're facing is a $6.7 million deficit in the Portland Parks and Culture budget. And we're facing that budget because there's been because we don't raise enough revenue to pay for the cost of running our park system. Now, you might ask, well, don't we have park bonds? And I would say, yes, we do have park bonds, but with park bonds, we are only able to buy new parks. We are not able to do maintenance or to provide operations out of that money. And so one thing that could be helpful is changing how systems development charges are collected and how they can be used. As you can imagine, in parks, the biggest expense are employees, and with employees, benefits, which nobody wants to do away with. So anyway, what are the other big issues? We are about to implement our public finance of campaigns for the city of Portland that is scheduled to roll out in 2020. That is a really big issue, and that's something we absolutely should support. And I also want to say, of course, the Portland Street Team is something that's vital. So I'll just leave it at those three because I got a lot of callers lined up. Thanks for the question. Good morning, Tony. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, I have a question. How does the Portland Prosper, formerly Portland Development Commission,
mm-hmm.
fit into this budget process and the oversight that the City Council has over that?
Well, yeah, that's another great question. So what formerly PDC, now Prosper Portland, used to be an independent economic development organization. It is now under the auspice of the mayor's office at the City of Portland. And they get their money. They used to get their money through development fees, and many of those opportunities have disappeared. And so their funding mechanism is a very complex system, and I will actually put that information on my Facebook page because I want you to see kind of how their financial stream runs. I'll go to the next caller. But the bottom line is, you're right that the City Council votes on Prosper Portland's budget, and they're also asking for additional resources to expand some of their new programming around supporting minority businesses, like through the supporting minority businesses and expanding their reach into different areas of the city. I think what they're doing is really, really has been very promising and positive so far. But I keep my eye on them. I am also still concerned about what's going to happen at the post office that they are leading with the developer that was hired from Denver. So I'm keeping my eye on that as well. I think... There's just so much information that you need to absorb to really have a understanding of how the budget process operates. Are we going to go to the phone line? Okay, no call. All right. So again, I want to bring to your attention that there will be at least four opportunities before you see the mayor's proposed budget on April 2nd has already happened, but April 6th, which is a Saturday, April 9th, which is next Tuesday, and April 2nd is PCC Cascade. I would encourage you to show up, make your voice heard, and really be thoughtful. I found some really, really, really thoughtful people showed up at the community budget hearing on Tuesday evening at ERCO. And how wonderful that the budget forum was so packed that there were lots of people that were unable to get inside. I mean, you know, I've been around long enough to know that that is not normal for a City of Portland budget forum, for them to be so packed that people were unable to get in. I see that as a very positive sign. I see that as the community really wanting to have their voice heard in this process. And unfortunately, most of the time when you only have 2 hours, you don't get to hear from everybody. But I hope people were not discouraged. Gonna go back to the phone line. Good morning, Francis. Welcome to Cable.
Hi.
Hi.
I was listening to the discussion about houseless people, and I thought of a conversation I just had recently with my young son, who's doing a research on houselessness in the country. And I was wondering if there's ever been any proposals to the City of Portland or any projects that have been discussed. There are places that are really normally considered conservative, like Salt Lake City, Utah, Nashville, Tennessee,
right,
places in Florida, where they actually provide housing. Existing housing is provided to houseless people. They are just given housing, and whatever issues they have, if it's alcoholism or drug addiction or just not having a job, it makes it much easier for them to address those issues. And in Portland, it seems that what we've done is provide, you know, all the SRO housing downtown, the single room occupancy, now is attached to some kind of a program. And if you're not in that program, you're not in that housing.
Right.
Or if you fall down in your program, or if you fall off the wagon, then you're kicked out of that program. But in these places,
well,
the bottom line is, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Francis. Let me just defend some of the programs that we have downtown, because they don't kick people out because they fall off the wagon. I mean, Central City Concern, the work they do is pretty phenomenal. Transition Project. So we have some really good programs. The problem is we don't have enough of them, right? So
exactly.
I would knock the, because what they're doing is just pretty, I mean, it's amazing.
However,
amazing.
I know of individual cases where people had problems and then that meant they were out. And I'm not saying that it's overall, but there are situations like that. But what the difference was, what I was trying to say was that in these other cities, the housing is yours. And what happens is the cycle is broken, where if someone does have drug addiction problems, they get help with it, but they don't lose their housing. If they have just need to find a job and have somewhere to get themselves together and get ready for work, or get ready to look for work, they have somewhere to be to do that. And it makes a whole different
I absolutely agree with you. It's housing first approach, and we say that's what we have, but we also say we just don't have enough of it, right? We are in the process now of building some housing that would have services co-located, right? Because what we do is build housing and then say, go get treatment, right? Which is ludicrous. That's just, you know, you have to help people who need those services. But I want to remind people, people are on the street because it just costs way too much to live in the City of Portland, and people cannot find affordable, safe places to lay their head. So that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol and drug addiction is not the big primary driver of people being on the street. So let's be clear about that.
That is true, and I agree. Mm. I used to work for Central Cities Concern, and I know this.
Right, right.
The majority of the people when there was a survey done years ago when I worked there, where they were surprised at how many people living in SRO housing had a college degree.
Right.
And
full-time jobs.
Right. So I think, but my question was maybe the approach, I think someone just mentioned the other day on Joe's show that until all of these newly developed, highly expensive apartments that are sitting vacant are filled, we don't need to build any more. We need to do something about the homelessness first. So hopefully that will happen.
Hopefully. I'm with you. I am with you. I just think it's inhumane for us to have people living on the street while we have all these luxury buildings sitting empty, because no one who currently lives here can afford to live in them.
Exactly.
I think that's criminal. And
I'm
with you. Thank you, Francis. I appreciate you as well. You too. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
The budget is, in fact, a moral document. It is a document that says this is where our soul is. This is where our heart is. This is our opportunity to invest in things that matter and will be the legacy for a city that really cares about its people. And if you do not see that reflected in the budget, that means that we are not doing the job that we need to do. Clearly, trying to just get a handle on just how much money today we spend on housing is just mind-boggling. We spend a lot of money. And I am someone who continues to ask the question, who benefits from these contracts? It's important for me to know exactly where public dollars go and who the beneficiaries of those dollars. And it tends to make people uncomfortable that the question has even been asked. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Scott. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to say that I understand that Portland's getting a lot more expensive, but you don't have a right to live in a really great city in America. If you can't afford the city you're living in, maybe you should move.
However, what if you already lived here and all of a sudden, let me give you an example. So what if you've lived here for, let's say, pick a number, 20 years, and you've worked every day, and your rent went up 100%, but your income didn't. Should you just move?
That's the economics of the realities of life. If I had a rent-controlled apartment in New York City from my mom, then my mom dies, I don't have a right to live in Central Park West. And I'd also say that rent control, MIT economists say rent control doesn't work, but I'm sure you guys know much better than MIT economists. Good luck with that.
Well, in spite of your snarky tone, I'm sure there are people out there that believe like you do, that, you know, people should live where they can afford to live. But how do you explain having 16,000 empty luxury units and having 5,000 people sleep on the street every night? The people act like the market is just some invisible force that just has a life of its own. We are the market. We get to decide. And if we use our budget as a moral document, I believe we have the opportunity to set a vision for the kind of community we want to build. And I don't think we want to build a community based on how much you can afford to pay. I think we want to build a community that's much more humane and much more inclusive of people at all income spectrums. I appreciate that young man. I bet that young man had a good education. He had a two-parent household, and he is on his path to making his own million. And I wish him well with that. But that's not the reality for a lot of people. And for the people who actually have to work every single day, I know people that work 3 and 4 jobs and still cannot afford to live in the city of Portland. And that, we should be ashamed that we are building a city that is unaffordable for its residents. And the response is, just move somewhere else. Well, we have pushed people to the very edges of the city of Portland, and there is nowhere else to go unless we're going to go down to the gorge, because we've pushed them all out to the edges, all over. That's not the compassionate approach I would want to have anyway. Again, budget forms are coming up. We will post that information for you later today. And I will encourage you to show up, make your voice heard. If you can't show up, feel free to email the city council. And here's a tip. I would appreciate it if you, when you email the city council, email all of us so that we know that everyone else has received the same communication, because that makes it easier for us to know whether or not everybody in the same in the building at City Hall got that info. I am very, very grateful for the opportunity to be reviewing and learning so much about the city and where its values lay. Let me go back to the phone line. Good morning, Joan. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thank you so much for your stand on housing. I want to say that Oregon is not for sale to the highest bidder.
Thank you.
We are not for sale to the highest bidder. I'm a low-income senior. I've lived here for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why I should be out on the street.
Right.
I walk along and I see people with white hair and, you know, laying there on cardboard boxes. This is not okay.
No.
And we need land reform.
Yes.
And we need rent control.
Yes.
And it's not about developers coming in here and making a pile of money and leaving. And it's not about putting people in tiny little units where there's no kitchen and stuff and thinking that we're giving them a home. We all deserve a good place to live.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks. Yes, ma'am. I couldn't have said it better myself. That's what a great way to end this program. Thank you so, so much for calling.
And thank you for doing what you're doing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that is it. You've been listening to Voices from the Edge, and we will see you next week. Same time, same place, same channel. You have an absolutely fabulous day.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours unhurt. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up, stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand up for your rights.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 8:58. Coming up next in just a couple of minutes, it's Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell, her weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, Per Fogering talks about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the role of the deep state. At 10 on the Heather McCoy Show, Heather interviews Stephen Kijak, who's the director of Scott Walker 30th Century Man. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman talks to Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award finalist Christine Shute about her latest story collection, Pure Hollywood. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, co-hosts Emma Jackson Ford, O.B. Hill, and Patricia Welch discuss what's on their bookshelves this month. Listeners are invited to call in and share their current reads. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by members' support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm. Click on Donate. It's 8:59. Press Watch next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Zenith's Tar Sands Oil Expansion Community Forum on Friday, April 5th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the City of Portland Water Pollution Control Laboratory in Portland. Second in a series of community forums on Zenith Energy's Tar Sands Oil Export Expansion, this event will supply project background, climate justice impacts, health and safety risks, and ideas for public action around Zenith's oil terminal. A variety of perspectives will be presented. Again, that's the Zenith's Tar Sands Oil Expansion Community Forum on Friday, April 5th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the City of Portland Water Pollution Control Laboratory, 6543 North Burlington Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left-opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Let's get down to the news you're not supposed to know. Let's go to CBS, Central BS. Russian troops arrive in Caracas. Hide your children!